Okay, this week's parsha is Parshas Pinchas, and we know that the reward that Pinchas receives, Hineni Nosein Lo Es Brisi Shalom, Kadosh Baruch Hu offers a covenant of peace to Pinchas, which seems a little inappropriate given Pinchas' actions. There's other covenants that Pinchas could have received, except for a Bris Shalom seems a little not in tune with the act of kanos and the act of violence that Pinchas created, which is described in detail by Chazal, that it was a very, very violent act. So in order to understand this, we can go into a little bit of the words of Chazal on this action. It's a famous statement of Yerushalmi that Rashi sort of alludes to, or more than alludes to, that Yerushalmi Sanhedrin Perek Tes says, Tani shelo baratzon chachamim, Pinchas shelo baratzon chachamim. Pinchas, what he did was shelo baratzon chachamim. It was not approved of by the zakenim of his time. Amar Rav Yehuda bar Pazi, bikshu lenadoso. They wanted to put him in nidui. They wanted to excommunicate him. Ilule shekafta alav ruach hakodesh v'amra v'hoi salo lezaru achra briskun asolam. Had a Kodesh Baruch Hu not jumped in and said, I'm going to give him a reward for his actions, the Chachamim of the time would have punished Pinchas and excommunicated him for what he did. So, it's interesting, what is it about what Pinchas did that met with such serious disapproval that they wanted to nip it in the bud right then and there and, you know, excommunicate him from Klal Yisrael. So, in order to understand it, there's a very famous Gemara, Maseches Brachos, discussing the Brach of Olam Hashinim, where, as we know, we call the Shmon Esrei, 18, even though there are, in fact, 19 Brachos. The Brach of Olam Hashinim was added, not in the times of the Anshei Knesset Gedola, but many years later, in the times of the end of the Second Beis HaMikdash, or even post-Second Beis HaMikdash, in the times of the Judeo-Christians, when they were giving the Jewish people a very, very hard time. And the Chachamim of the time, the Tanoim, felt it necessary to institute a bracha to ask Hashem to exact his revenge and to save them from the people who were the enemies of the Jews. So they had a major problem trying to find out who was going to be able to write this bracha. So Gemara in Brachas on Chav Chesem Bey says, Amar lehen Rabban Gamliel l'chacham, Rabban Gamliel the Nasi says to the Chachamim, Klum yesh adam shiodeh l'sakin birch aminim. Is there no one who knows how to properly write this bracha against the heretics? And what happened? Amad Shmuel HaKatan v'tikna. So Shmuel HaKatan got up and he wrote the bracha. So the question really is, what was the major problem they had? Nobody knew how to do it. Saying, nowadays, if you look in the Siddur, you know, we have tfilos that were written by Geonim, Rishonim, Achronim, Achrone, Achrone, Achronim. You know, people are comprising new tefillahs today, saying, and all right, so whether or not that's a good practice, you could debate. But Lemaisa, none of these great Tanoim knew how to do it. And then Shmuel HaKatan, what was so special about him? Listen, who did you have in those generations? Who did you have in the door of Rabban Gamliel? You had the Zaken Ador, Rabbi Yoshua. You had the Baki Ador, Rabbi Eliezer. You had Rabbi Akiva. You had Rabbi Loza ben Azariah. You had so many of the great, great Tanoim, Hashem Yipiyem Anu Chaim, that were all probably greater than Shmuel HaKatan, and yet he was the only one who was able to write this bracha. So, in order to understand this, Rav Kook and many others, they point out that if you look at the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, so Shmuel HaKatan is quoted as saying the following, Perek Dalad Mishnah Yates, Shmuel HaKatan Omer, and he just quotes a pasuk, "Bin folay yevecha al tismach uvikshalo al yogel libecha," right? And he quotes the rest of the pasuk in the Mishnah as well. So Shmuel HaKatan, his major contribution to Pirkei Avos was that he quoted a pasuk in Mishle that says, "Do not rejoice in the downfall of your enemy." So what's the pshat? You need Shmuel HaKatan to tell you the pasuk. Right? He knew how yeshivish everybody would be. After a while, they would only know the pasuk from the Mishnah. Right, so, but Lamaisa, why is it really that Shmuel HaKatan was quoted a pasuk? So we know that Barbanel and many others, they explain in Pirkei Avos, it doesn't mean when it says Hu Haya Omer that he used to say, it doesn't mean he would go around saying this stuff. You know, you can imagine Shammai going around saying, Emor matva say arbe, Emor matva say arbe, all day. He would walk around telling people not to say much. Right? So a lot of Shammai didn't say that probably ever. Right? It meant to that if you understood who he was, his legacy was these midos. If you knew Shmuel HaKatan, you knew that he personified the midos of Benfolei Avecha Al Tismach. He personified, yes, of course, there are enemies of Klal Yisrael, but what does it mean that someone's an enemy of Klal Yisrael? We say every time we take out the Torah, by even saw Aron by Yomer Moshe, Kuma Hashem v'yafutzo Yavecha, right? Get up Hashem and scatter your enemies. Right, so the Medrash has the kasha. V'chi yesh sonim lefnei misha amar v'haya olam. What? There are enemies against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it dafka refers to him in this kinoy. Well, what are you gonna? What do you have? You have a gun? I spoke and created the universe. Right? What are you gonna do with a gun? Right? So it can't be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has enemies. So it says no. It's telling you kol misha shesone. Right? The Klal Yisrael, the Bnei Yisrael, kiilu sone l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The enemies of Klal Yisrael are the enemies of their Ribono Shel Olam. So that's what it meant. Benfolei Avecha Al Tismach doesn't mean that you don't rejoice in the downfall of your enemy because he's your enemy. The reason you have enemies is that these people are the enemies of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And if this person wants to fight against God's chosen people, that means he wants to fight with the Ribono Shel Olam, and that makes him my enemy. Doesn't mean I'm going to rejoice because I'm going to receive any personal satisfaction from seeing his downfall. It means that I'm doing it in order to defend the covenant of my God. So this idea was not easily internalized by even the greatest of Tanaim. Of course, you could think today the enemies of the Jewish people are many, right? And who wouldn't receive the slightest amount of personal satisfaction from hearing that an enemy of the Jews was taken care of? Right? But Shmuel HaKatan was miyuchad bedoro, that he was the one that did not feel a tinge of human, certainly normal human emotions when it came to trying to fight the enemies of the Jewish people. He did it purely l'shem defending the covenant of Hashem. And that was he was the only one who was able to do that. And Rav Kook elaborates on this in his Siddur, on the Bracha V'Lam Hashinim. He explains that when it comes to mitzvos that are positive mitzvos and constructive mitzvos, so there, we always say, we spoke about this a few weeks ago, mitoch shelo lishma bo lishma, when it comes to doing mitzvos, you don't always have to have the purest of intentions. So he says, but when it comes to something which is a hashchasa, when it comes to a destructive, negative act, then only 100% l'shem shamayim will suffice. It is not permissible in any way, shape, or form to do a negative act, even though that act is a mitzvah. And you're going to be mesaken a bracha in Shmona Esrei, which talks about destroying people. That can only be done with the purest of intentions. And that was not able to be done by the great Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and the Nasi Rabban Gamliel. It could only be done by Shmuel HaKatan, who in the deepest depths of his soul embodied the midah of Benfolei Avecha Al Tismach. And this is a very, very important lesson for everybody, but it's certainly for Bnei Torah, it's a very important lesson that when we recognize that there are many, many positive things that we do, that we're not always medakdek, was it 100% for the right reason, the wrong reason, am I doing it for covet, am I doing it for fun, what's the whole svara behind my actions, that's great. We don't really have to drive ourselves crazy every second of the day, make a cheshbon nefesh, every single positive thing that we did. Good is good. We'll live with it. Right? However, one of the greatest yetzer haras that people have is to be involved in negative attitudes and bashing of other types of Jews, other Jews, you know, or some type of machlokes that, of course, it's l'shem shamayim. I've never even heard of a machlokes that wasn't l'shem shamayim. Every single machlokes that's ever happened was only because of the principle of the matter, right? There's never been one personal negiah in the history of a machlokes that anyone ever had, right? But this is something that we have to recognize. Rav Kook is telling us that when it comes to a machlokes, when it comes to doing an act like Pinchas did, only the purest intentions will do. Only one Tana in a generation was able to do it. I'm not talking about, if I was to say to you that there would be a mitzvah that Rabbi Akiva couldn't do, you wouldn't believe me. How could Rabbi Akiva, is not pure of heart enough? The person who, when his face was being raked by iron combs, all he could think about is, Gevaldik, now I get to be Mekayim what I've said in Kriyat Shema twice a day my whole life. Terrific! Right? This is a man not of pure heart. This is a man whose intentions aren't good enough for us. But Lamaisa, it's true. When it comes to negative speech, when it comes to negative actions, when it comes to writing someone else off and hoping something bad happens to someone else, there's no room for that unless you're Shmuel HaKatan. And just to explain the Parsha, that's what happened. That's what the Chachamim said when it came to Pinchas. They said, yeah, Pinchas was able, he did this Maisa Hashchasa, he did this terrible, terrible act of violence. We don't know how pure his heart is. We know he's a big tzaddik. We know he's somebody special. But is he Shmuel HaKatan? Is he on the level that he can do this Maisa and have it be 100% L'shem Shemayim without any inkling of personal satisfaction mixed in there? So they didn't know, so they said, we're not Bochen Kledes V'Lev, we're not their Bona Shalom, so we have to do our part and be menadeh him. We have to put him in Cherem, and we have to excommunicate him and let the chips fall where they lie. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the only one who could be made on him, that he actually did it 100% with the right intentions, jumps in and says, no, he was pure of heart, and Hineni Nosein Lo Es Brisi Shalom. I'm giving him a covenant of peace. He is a peaceful man. He's not a violent man at heart. We look at Pinchas as a kanoi. We look at Pinchas as an angry man who, you know, the wrong guy ticked him off, so he ran after him and he killed him. But it's not so. The Netziv in the Amik Davar explains that the bracha of Shalom that Pinchas received was that he should remain unaffected. We know that oftentimes, if you know people who fight in Tzahal, or if you know somebody who ever had to commit an act of violence, it changes you, it affects you, even though it was done for the right reasons. It wasn't done, it was not a criminal act, it was a positive act that helped Klal Yisrael, but it changes you. To kill another person is a tremendous act of violence. You're never going to be the same afterwards. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Pinchas a special bracha that he should remain the same even after he committed this act, because it was done completely Shem Shemayim. And this is the idea that we have to remember, that the great Yetzer Hara of Bnei Torah is not necessarily to go do actual averus. The great Yetzer Hara of Bnei Torah that many people experience is to stop focusing on yourself. Don't worry about your own problems. Don't worry about your own self-improvement, because it's so easy to just look around. And not necessarily in my own base medrash. My own base medrash is the perfect environment, because L'maisa, if it wasn't the perfect yeshiva, why would I be there? I'm perfect, and hence the yeshiva that I attend is perfect, and hence the, you know, everyone in it is doing the right thing. But that yeshiva, whew, I don't even want to think about that yeshiva. That yeshiva, nobody knows what's going on over there. Saying, but L'maisa, these are things that we do, A, not for the right reasons for sure, and even if we think we're doing them for the right reasons, this is our Yetzer Hara trying to get us to lose focus on our own self-improvement and our own growth. Right? This is the yisod of machlokes that tears apart Klal Yisrael, is when a person has two choices. He can either look at himself and see what his own chesronos are and try to deal with that, or he can look at the other guy and see what the other guy's chesronos are and bash him for what, you know, for what may be legitimate problems, but, you know, there's nothing productive that's ever come from it. It's something that we have to keep in mind, you know, that especially at this time, we're almost at the time of Shavasa B'Tamuz. And listen, I can only speak for myself. I love, you know, coming here every summer. I love learning in this base medrash. But L'maisa, this is not where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be, you know, hopefully this base medrash, like the Gemara says, like all Batei Medrash will be transferred to Yerushalayim when eventually Mashiach comes. But at the end of the day, we're in Gullis for a reason, and that reason stems from this idea that there are too many arguments, and of course, every single one, L'shem Shamayim, every single one is based on principle, and every single one is based on, you know, I have to show this guy how to be, because Lord knows, if I don't show him how to be, how's he ever going to know the right thing to do? So it's our job to go out there and to bash other people, and to show other people that everything they're doing is wrong. Doesn't mean you don't have to have an opinion. You can be very opinionated. Hashem gave you a brain, he wants you to use it. But it does mean that not, you know, that shouldn't be to the detriment of those around you. That shouldn't be to, you know, to take other people down. It should be, you want to think about the world, think about the world. Think about how to make it better. Think about how to come up with good solutions and positive things, as opposed to acts of hashchasa, which, between you and me, I don't know anyone, you know, in the world possibly, but certainly not myself, and certainly not probably anyone around us that's capable of being on the level of a Pinchas, or being on the level of a Shmuel HaKatan, where he could do a Maisa Hashchasel, or write a Bracha of Hashchasel, Hashem Shemayim, to the extent that it's going to be considered Lidoros. So hopefully we'll try our best over the coming few weeks to constantly focus inward, to focus on ourselves, and to work hard on ourselves, and to bring positive things to the world, bring positive things to the Jewish people, and Be'ezras Hashem, it'll be a positive end to the 3 weeks.